This Get Made. Hey everybody, welcome to a mini episode of How Did This Get Made. I am your host, Paul Scheer, joining you for, I don't know, next 5, 10, 15 minutes to tell you everything that you might have missed from last week's episode where we talked about the Miley Cyrus classic LOL and everything that you need to know for next week's episode. Now, next week's episode is a live episode, and it focuses on one of my favorite characters in movie history. That's right, he's suave, he's British, he's a secret agent. We're talking about the one, the only, James Bond. However, this James Bond was a little different. He's old. Actually, scratch that, he's very old. And he is joined by Christopher Walken and Grace Jones in a story about Silicon Valley. Holy shit. This is my first James Bond movie, so I remember it fondly, but it's not that great. Here, take a listen to the trailer.
A secret ambition.
I propose to end the domination of Silicon Valley. Project Main Strike.
A secret plan.
For which each of you will pay me $100 million.
And a secret weapon.
We're not sure about her. Name's Mayday.
Someone will take care of you.
Oh, you'll see to that personally, will you?
There's only one man who can stop them.
Bond. James Bond.
And I'm Dick Tracy, and you're still under arrest.
In the world of high adventure, the highest number is still 007. James Bond 007 with Tanya Roberts, Grace Jones,
wow,
and Christopher Walken. Has James Bond finally met his match? Find out this summer in A View to a Kill. Title song performed by Duran Duran.
Wow, watching that trailer makes me even sad that I'm making you watch this. But if you're questioning, yeah, there was a lot of explosions and cars, but one of the words that you heard in there, or sentences, is follow that parachute. Okay, guys, this is available for free on Netflix. You can also watch it on the YouTube, and you can download it from iTunes. It's easy to get. A View to a Kill, Roger Moore, Christopher Walken, Grace Jones, and Tanya Roberts. All right, let's get into it. And by into it, I mean into corrections and omissions. Hit the theme.
Hey, Paul, I love the show, and I don't mean to put you in an awkward position. But we've got a few corrections and omissions.
That's right, this is a chance for you to tell us where we fucked up. We talked a lot about LOL, but there are things that we missed out on. Here we go. You're going to tell us right now what we did wrong. All right, first off, our intern Nate, he pointed out you guys never talked about Lola's little brother. He exists, I swear. I saw him 3 times. Once in the beginning, where he's wearing a Little League baseball uniform. Then towards the middle of the film, where he's wearing a karate gi. And then at the Thanksgiving table, where he's just playing a video game. And obviously in front of the turkey that has been fingered by a video camera. So, sorry we didn't talk about his little brother. He does exist. Here's an interesting thing that came up here on the forums. Basically, fans nicknamed all the male characters in this movie. They called them Shit Dick 1, that's Wen the Nerd. Shit Dick 2, the We Need to Talk About Kevin Kid. And then Shit Dick 3, Kyle, Miley's best friend. So, way to go, forum posters, for coming up with those clever names of Shit Dick 1, 2, and 3. Maximilio, he posted a very lengthy, long list of similarities between this film and the French film. If you want to read that, you can go on our forum. You can read the entire thing. It's too much for me to cover right here. But the one thing that stands out is that the French version shows during the credits that it's based on a true story. Oh, boy, oh, boy. I guess they couldn't pull that off. Couldn't make that reality true in America because nothing could be real about this movie. Okay, so here are a couple. This is just a weird thought, but Annie Marie says, when I was in high school, a teacher told us that marijuana causes schizophrenia, and that's why her brother was schizophrenic. But when I researched that idea, I found that scientists have found a correlation between marijuana use and the first episodes of schizophrenia, but the direction of the effect has not been established. In short, it's possible for people who are dealing with symptoms of schizophrenia, which would be obviously upsetting, they might start using marijuana to cope with them and then would lead to early onset schizophrenia, but not create it out of nothing. So thank you, Annie Marie, for, I don't know, putting some science behind the thoughts. Okay, also, this is actually really great. This is from Cameron H. He goes, I've written on Miley's diary in the movie before, but it wasn't really brought up in the episode other than to say that it existed. My question is, why in a movie that hinges so much on digital interaction with Lola, I'm not calling her Lol, because it would, you know, despite the claims in her movie that her friends rarely call her anything but that, they always call her Lola. Anyway, he goes, why would she be writing in a pen and paper diary? Wouldn't she have some sort of online diary? And yes, I understand it was so Demi could stumble on it and create some sort of conflict, but couldn't the same thing be achieved by writing the scene where Demi's character needs to get something off her chest and then, you know, she logs on to her blog or something like that? It just kind of seems anachronistic, you know? I mean, it's like scoring your 2008 French trailer about modern teenagers with mid-90s songs by Blur and Supergrass. Oh, well, there you go. Cameron H. really pulling the rug out from me beneath this director. Okay. Now, being all fishies writes, first of all, thank you for pointing out all those instances of product placement, but you missed the biggest one. The charm bracelet. Just before Miley leaves for Paris, Demi gives her that charm bracelet, and it's a very long shot of the Pandora box. Not only is the shot pointless, the whole scene is pointless. It never comes back. It's just the 487th opportunity for them to say, I love you, Mom. I love you, too. Now, the one line that made me crazy was, this is my first time since my divorce. Is it? But you've been dating your ex-husband. We see him sneaking in at night and trying to not wake up the kids. You two are sitting in bed together. Does he actually just sneak in and go to sleep and not have sex with you? Actually, I prefer to think everyone making the movie just forgot that the ex-husband existed. And finally, I thought it was a little weird that Miley Cyrus, who at this point was transitioning from Hannah Montana to more serious movie roles, is in a movie where the climax is at a battle of the bands and the band features nothing with Miley. Miley's not involved in the band at all. Good point, being all fishies. I agree with you. Okay, let's see what else we got here. This is from Ghost Manatee. The one scene that always stuck with me was this. During the misunderstanding where Ashley Hinshaw is boning the nerd in the bathroom and Ashley Green, whose character is actually named Ashley, just a sidebar because I couldn't remember what her non-post-it name was, walks out of the bathroom, Miley accuses her of having sex with, what was his name, Kyle? She phrases her accusation as such. How was it? Ashley responds, it was awesome. Miley says, you're disgusting. So in Ashley's mind, what was this conversation about? Did she really just enjoy her bathroom break? Is Miley's response completely reasonable if Ashley thinks she's being asked about it? Like, This is amazing. It will actually basically tell anyone how awesome her shits are. Ah, that's amazing. I miss that 100%. That's great. Blast Hard Cheese writes, there's also another French-American movie remake by the same director called Jungle to Jungle. Both versions are terrible. The French slightly less, the American remake. That was with Tim Allen, the great Tim Allen. We have not done a Tim Allen movie. Also, this is from Maximillo. He goes, and Glitter and LOL, the main characters eat escargot. Crazy connection. The escargot. The escargot duology. Way to go, Maximilla, with the real plumbing the depths of the dictionary here. Big Mick Large and Huge goes, I worked on the DVD and Blu-ray for this movie. I watched it 3 times in English, once in French, once in Spanish, and listened to the commentary track twice, which features the director and two of the least famous girls who played Miley's friends in the movies. That's 7 times the poultry action. Some points that reading this thread reminded me of was 3 generations of raspiness split between Miley, Demi, and Marlo Thomas. Marlo wins the rasp off because you can't mess with experience. Early on in the film, when Miley is texting her BFF, you can see on the phone where it says unknown number. She never bothered to enter her lifelong guy buddy's name into her phone. Oh, also, So Undercover is slightly better, only because there was no way to go any lower. Ugh, I need a new job. That's from Big McLarge and Huge. And finally, it's a little bit out there, but this Nate calls out that this basically sums up our experiences with LOL perfectly. Battle not with monsters, lest ye become a monster. And if you gaze into the abyss gazes into you. Nietzsche. And I think you're right, Nate. This does sum up everything. And thank you, Lando, for just putting that quote on the forum. If you would like to add a correction and omission for our next film, View to a Kill, just go to earwolf.com, click on the forum button, go down to How Did This Get Made, and leave your comments. You can get a chance to tell us what we missed or what we got wrong. We appreciate them, we look forward to them, and we thank you for them. That's the end of the corrections and omissions. Moving on to, would Nick Cage be better in it? Hit the theme!
Dropping panties all around the world. Nicolas Cage loved and engaged. Cage made my life better. But will he make this movie better? Yeah.
The question is always, will Nick Cage or could Nick Cage have been better in this movie? And I will say definitively, no. He cannot play a teenager. I know that you would say, well, wouldn't it be funny if he could play a teenager? I'm talking about, let's be realistic here. No, this movie would not be better with Nick Cage. I'm going out on a limb and saying this is perfect casting for this movie. Everything about this movie works to a T. Do not replace Miley. Do not replace LOL. Do not replace Demi. LOL is not a character, obviously. Do not replace Ashley Hinshaw. Do not replace any of them. They are all perfect. Nick Cage, you are great, but you can never take the place of Miley. Now it is time to help you with your miserable lives. It's time for Q and A's. You give me Q's, I give you A's. Let's go and do this. All right, here we go. From Sean Stevens, why did the Smurfs succeed across generations while the Snorks faded into obscurity? This is a great question. I loved Snorks when I was a kid. I always bet on the wrong thing. 3DO, I had it. Super Nintendo, I did not. Snorks, look, they were too hip, too cool. They were talking about the shit that no one was on board with at the time. They were the girls, the HBO show, Girls, of their time. You know, people wanted the light, airy, oh, I'm vanity Smurf, I'm cute Smurfs. The Snorks were deeper, complex characters. And one of them was a murderer. I'm pretty sure one of them was a murderer. One of them was an abortion doctor. And one of them was actually based on Dr. Kevorkian. So it was a darker version of the Smurfs, and America wasn't ready for that, or the world. Jordan Strowman writes, do you make June watch the movies with you if she isn't going to appear in an episode? Yes, I do make June watch those movies. June actually watched LOL with me because she did not realize she was going to get food poisoning, unlike most people who plan their food poisoning. But yeah, she'll probably walk in and out of a room a lot, and probably rightly so. I mean, look, it's torture. Sometimes these movies are absolute torture. You'll be finding that out in about 2 hours and 12 minutes into A View to a Kill. Liz McDonough writes, "What's my sleep number? I always keep that shit on zero, Liz. Bam! I don't need to get more comfortable. I sleep hard, just in case one of these days I'm pulled out of my house and I gotta live life, I don't know, like Cool Hand Luke, you know, in the shed, eating eggs, on the table. I gotta live a prisoner life. I can't get, comfortable in like a 5 or 7, which would be my ideal sleep number. I gotta keep that shit on zero. And I advise you to do the same." Philip Sequin writes, "Does Mantzoukas enjoy sitting on front stoops? This seems to me like an inside joke between you and Jason Mantzoukas. I don't understand." Oh, wait a second. Are you saying that he looks like a gnome because he has a beard? Oh, brother. Oh, brother. Philip. Philip. Bad. Bad Philip. Johnny Cranston writes, "So what do you think of the Fast and Furious 7 and all the new Fast news? I'm going to save that when I'm with the rest of my cast for maybe a very special mini episode. I don't know. We'll see what happens. We'll see what happens." All right. And then Michael Gallagher hypothesizes, which will be better, Fast and Furious 10 or Crank 10? Oh, shit. Crank 10. I mean, we've only seen 2 Cranks. So we have no idea where that franchise is going to go. I mean, I am seeing a trajectory for Fast and Furious 10. If there was a Crank 10, I believe it would be injected into you like heroin, and it would be an experience that you would live and you would not be watching. So I would say Crank 10 is the one because it is like a real drug. Okay, let's see what else we have here. Bob Bernard writes, "Regular Show or Adventure Time?" Bob, you cannot make me pick, as I am on both shows, or I have done appearances on both shows. I'm a big Adventure Time fan. I love Adventure Time. Regular Show, hilarious, consistently amazing, amazing cast. Both shows, A pluses, I can't pick. If I have to pick, I kill myself. All right, here we go. Who would win in a pie fight, Marky Mark's Funky Bunch or Hootie's Blowfish? And this is from Matt Furchalk. Dude, you see those abs on that Funky Bunch? You see those dance moves on that Funky Bunch? They're going to throw the hell of a pie. The Blowfish? They look like they just ate some shrimp po' boys. They're not going to do shit. That Funky Bunch, they're posing on cars in an industrial section of somewhere. That's fucking hardcore shit, okay? You hang out with Mark Wahlberg, you know how to throw a motherfucking pie, a.k.a. Wahlburgers, a.k.a. not pizza, but burgers, which are mini pizzas in the shape of meat. All right, and then John Lawrence Kudal writes, "If you could replace anyone in your daily life with Nick Cage, who would you replace?" If I could replace anyone in my daily life, I guess it would be my dad, because I don't talk to my dad every single day, but I talk to him a lot and I text with him a lot. And I feel like if Nick Cage was my dad, it would be really fun to talk to him and spend the holidays with him. So I'm not getting him all the time 24/7. I'm getting him in doses, in texts, in phone calls, and at the holidays. So, sorry, Dad, you're replaced with Nick Cage. And then, so this is a weird question. Tyler Berger writes, "Is Nick Cage a Smurf?" No, because there's no adjective to his name, okay? Like, it would have to be like Crazy Smurf, and then I'd be like, well, that would be like Nick Cage. But no, Nick Cage is not a Smurf. Get your head out of the fucking garbage, man. Nick Cage is a human, an actor, a thespian, an art collector, an occultist, okay? Smurfs don't exist. Nick Cage does, and that's why we're thankful for him. Bobby Overman writes, "Why are Canadians funnier than Americans?" Bobby, it's a question that we've all been trying to answer for many years. William Shatner, Mike Myers, Michael Moore, not a Canadian, he's a Detroitian. John Candy, all these people, amazing. SCTV, they're great. I think it all comes down to the fact that their money looks funnier. Because basically, our money looks real and we got to work hard for it. But in Canada, when you get paid with essentially funny money. So there's not as much instinct to be so focused on the monetary end of it. You're just like, oh, that's ridiculous. I'm just going to have fun with my life. I'm not going to care about money. Maybe that's what it comes down to, Bobby. I don't know. And I don't want to get into politics here. I've said it a million times. I'm not getting into this Canada debate. Stop dragging me into it. Okay, that's the end of Q&As. Your cues have been aid. All right, here's a section of the show where we say, what am I into? What am I recommending? What am I going to tell you guys to go see? Right now, like everybody else in the world, I am into the Star Wars trailer, but there is one Star Wars trailer that I'm specifically into, which is the one, the George Lucas Special Edition Star Wars trailer. Someone did it online. It's amazing. You should definitely check it out. The George Lucas Special Edition Star Wars trailer. It's good. I'm also into My Adult Swim Special. You heard me mention it at the top of the show, but it is airing every night this week at 4 a.m. It's called Frank Pierre Presents the Pierre Resort and Casino. You can also watch it online on YouTube. Just type in Frank Pierre Casino Resort, or go to my website at paulshear.com, not at Paul Shear, www.paulshear.com, and you can watch it right there, Frank Pierre Resort and Casino. I hope you enjoy it. And that brings us to an end of a mini episode. Guys, girls, I'm excited for next week's episode, and it's going to be a special one. Yeah, that's right. Maybe a crossover episode. Ooh, and what am I teasing? You don't even know. Here's the deal, people. You can get View to a Kill pretty much anywhere, free for Netflix, on iTunes, and also on YouTube. Watch it, enjoy it. Until next time, James Bond.
This has been an Earwolf Media production. Executive producers Jeff Ulrich and Scott Aukerman. For more information, visit earwolf.com.
Earwolf Radio, boom.com. The wolf dead.